Welcome to Episode 8 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Rochelle Mazar, and I'm an emerging technologies librarian at the University of Toronto, Mississauga. Every month, you can listen in as I talk about what's new in technology and what we as academics should be paying attention to. It's hard to keep up with all the new software, tools, and gadgets. That's where I come in. Generation Y, Millennials, the Net Generation. We've all heard the terms to describe them. But a common misconception is that they have a better grasp of technology than the rest of us do. In this episode, I take a radical stand. Just because they were born when computers were in every household doesn't make millennials all-knowing about the internet or the technology that surrounds it. So who are the real digital natives? Let's find out.
I'm the digital monkey. Supply the frequencies and beat the rhythm that's funky. I come from Middle East but don't belong to no country. I jump from tree to tree, put my track.
You've heard the term before, digital natives, the net generation. This group, generally understood to be born after either 1980 or 1990, depending on who's using the term, are said to be defined by having been born after the introduction of personal computing. They have never experienced a strictly analog world. Their phones have never been stuck to the kitchen wall. They don't know what it's like to not be able to just Google something. They were born into this already connected, always on world, and thus, if you believe the media reports, they are functionally and even biologically different from those of us who watched this digital era begin. They learn differently. They think differently. Their brains are differently wired. They are able to multitask and process information in ways anyone over 30 can't even begin to understand. Their experience of the internet and its tools is markedly different from that of so-called digital immigrants. Everywhere I go, I run into this mythology, this belief that there is something very different about those born in a digital era. It permeates everything related to education, from how to communicate with teenagers to how to structure undergraduate courses. It shows up as a warning. You need a field guide to understand these people. You need seminars and workshops about them to help you rethink your services and your teaching. This new breed is fundamentally alien and radically different from you. While you, the digital immigrant, are comfortable with books and papers, working with one task at a time and concentrating for long stretches, digital natives are more comfortable with digital materials, mobile devices, always-on communication, and online tools. They don't read like you and I do. Digital natives multitask constantly and flit from magazine to TV screen to computer screen to mobile device effortlessly. In this mythology, anyone born since 1990 is essentially a different species. This is the net generation, Generation Y, the digital natives. You've probably heard all this before. I certainly have. Repeatedly. But evidence for these claims is pretty thin on the ground. It includes a lot of anecdotes about the obviously brilliant children of academics who teach old dad how learning really should happen. Does it represent only a small sample of tech-savvy kids from upper-middle-class, highly educated families? Does it even represent that particular group? Anecdotes are not data, and family autoethnography doesn't represent an entire generation. That probably doesn't need to be said, but the sweeping arguments about digital natives and about how we're to treat and understand them requires a bit of reining in. It's true that those under 25 are active online more frequently than other age groups. That's been demonstrated by Pew Internet Research, and those numbers look pretty solid. But more use doesn't mean more tech skills, necessarily. Measuring time spent online doesn't give you any indication of anyone's ability to use the internet well. Volume is merely volume. In my experience working with undergraduate students, and the experiences of those around me who provide reference support to undergraduate students, those under 25 have Facebook or Tumblr accounts, but they're no more likely to feel comfortable navigating a brand new web interface or learning how to use a new device than the faculty are. While this generation is often painted as alien and foreign, that's largely an unfounded caricature.
If this geek ruled the world, I'd finally get myself a girl and get a life and move right out my brother's basement and move the world. It'll be like 24,000 friends on MySpace, probably gonna never end. Look at my face, doing all the crazy little things you thought I'd never do. Deep magic, time to do the bit bucket fool. You wanna follow my Twitter? Oh no, got MIPIS but no IO. You'll be a zip ahead, miss what I said. Control, alt, delete, you're dead. Sneaking through the back door, gonna get more RAM. I'm the man, have you laughing on the floor? Snap, took a video, put it up on YouTube, dig it, yo. Little PHP and spaghetti go. Little time bomb, motherboard explode. Everything coming down, push or pull. Hey, oops, my terabyte hard drive's full.
But the myth that the true tech geniuses of our culture are under the age of 25 is persistent. Perhaps Mark Zuckerberg is to blame. Zuckerberg is currently 27 and created Facebook when he was just 20 years old. David Karp, who founded Tumblr, was born in 1986. Those are powerful stories, and those are creative young men. However, the innovations that make the internet the fantastic tool it is, and continues to be, largely did not come to us from those of a generation called the Net Generation. It comes from anyone with the passion and creativity to dream big, regardless of age or youthful experiences with the internet. Don't believe me? Evan Williams, the guy who coined the term blog and founded Blogger, one of the first blogging platforms, as well as Twitter, was born in 1972. Vint Cerf, known as one of the fathers of the internet, created the base protocols upon which everything else on the internet is built. He was born in 1943. Joey Ito, venture capitalist, the chairman of Creative Commons and the executive director of MIT's Media Lab, was born in 1966. So was Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia. Cory Doctorow, who writes so eloquently about the internet and internet culture, was born in 1971. Steve Jobs was born in 1955. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, the founders of Google, were both born in 1973, long before the popular birth of the internet. Early exposure to the web and a childhood with easy access to computers, cell phones, and digital culture is obviously not a requirement for building tools or a service that radically alters online culture. All of these folks had toy cars and wooden blocks. They had books, not cell phones. And yet, their contribution to the internet as we know it is huge. In spite of all this evidence, the idea that the Net Generation is head and shoulders above the rest of us in terms of technical understanding, creativity, and ability remains. Why is that? I think there's something insidious about it. And it's damaging. It's damaging to the average undergraduate student who appears at university staggered by the number of things she has to learn. There are systems to log into with new and strange passwords, new mail systems, courseware, the labyrinth that is the library, physically and digitally, meal plan systems and residence websites, registration processes and calendars, online maps to find their classes, Facebook groups and websites for student associations. It's a never-ending list of new stuff to learn, all with different navigation structures and language they don't understand. And when the entire university structure turns around to them and says, "Well, you're young. Surely this is all natural to you. You're a digital native." More than a few students burst into tears. This is the reality of it. It's confusing for us. It's confusing for them. They are no more tech geniuses than we are. Some of them are amazingly well adapted to a digital world. Many of them need help. Some of them don't have Facebook accounts. Many of them have no idea what a blog is, or what Twitter does, or how to record audio or video using their computers. Many of them don't know the difference between an application and a file. They don't feel comfortable clicking around a page to see what it does. Like most people, undergraduates under the age of 25 are just as likely to be a little afraid of an institutional system and want help with it. But the mythology around their generation makes them feel dumb for asking. They're supposed to have differently wired brains. They're supposed to know how to use a QR code or edit a wiki. We pile these expectations on them as if they're just born that way. Biology doesn't work like that. Evolution doesn't work like that. Brains don't adapt that fast. They're still human, still confused, and still very much like the generations that came before them. They may have an iPhone in their pocket, but that doesn't mean they understand the underpinnings of the internet any better than you do. At the very core of this, I believe, this mythology of the digital native is really about the rest of us, about the digital immigrants. It's about those of us who are alive to see this rapid shift in technology, culture, and communication appear and change our world. And it has changed our world. It's changed us and the way we do things. And it's work, isn't it, to adapt to it, to dig into it and understand it. Collaboration has taken on a whole new meaning when you can do it inside a document in real time. There are a lot of new tools available to us, and the old ways of doing things aren't always the most efficient anymore. We can't cling to them, even when we want to, because they're comfortable. We have to change. We're challenged to never stop learning, because the world of technology never stops changing. Pinning all that learning, all that challenge, on a new generation is a cop-out. It's an excuse. As long as we frame new thinking as something only young people can do, it lets us off the hook. We can just go on as we always have, because our biology says we must. But it's a lie. Anyone can learn new things, be inspired by new tools. Anyone can let the internet and its affordances seep into their lives and alter how they work and play, how they communicate and learn. Some of the most technologically creative people I know are over 40. Some of the very best are over 50 or over 60. These are people with the time, security, money, support, and freedom to experiment with new ideas, frame them in the context of experience and knowledge, and push the best ideas forward. It's not youth that powers ideas. It's a willingness to rethink, reframe, and relearn. There is no native and immigrant in the digital world. We are all citizens. That's it for this episode. How do you think we can solve the digital native misconception? Let me know by posting a comment at the bottom of this podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.